The following is an exclusive presentation of the Southwest Georgia Network. 10 weeks down, only 2 weeks to go. That's all that remains for the high school football regular season in Southwest and South Central Georgia. On this week's episode of the High School Football Roundup Podcast, you'll listen to an instant reaction to what happened in Week 10, including a lot of upsets, as well as the playoff scenarios for Week 11. Stay tuned. The HSFR is coming your way next. Welcome to the High School Football Roundup Podcast, an inside listen on high school football in Southwest Georgia, only on the Southwest Georgia Network. Welcome back in to the High School Football Roundup Podcast here on the Southwest Georgia Network at southwestgeorgianetwork.com and on Twitter at SWJ Network. And this is also the high school football postgame show here on the Southwest Georgia Network. I'm your host, Walter Johnson. And for the first time, I believe, And this is a, an instant reaction to an entire week of high school football action here in Georgia. And, so week 10 is now in the books here for high school football here in Southwest Georgia, South Central Georgia. And, and it was a crazy night filled with upsets. And if you don't know what I mean, and I encourage you to stay tuned until the end. And just a crazy night of high school football here in our neck of the woods. So, obviously, going to start with what happened on Thursday night down at Hugh Mills Stadium in Albany. And the Daugherty Trojans had an undefeated record of 8-0 overall, as well as 3-0 in Region 1 AAA. And they brought both of those records into their game against the Thomasville Bulldogs. And Bulldogs were 5-3 overall, and also 3-0 in Region 1 AAA. And the Bulldogs were looking for their fifth straight win, and the game was tied early at 7. But Thomasville took a 28-14 lead into the locker room at halftime, and the Bulldogs really and truly controlled the game from start to finish. And in the end, it was Thomasville and getting the win 35-20 over the Daugherty Trojans. So big win for Daugherty, and a big win for Daugherty. Tough loss for make that a big win for Thomasville. Tough loss for Daugherty. And not only does Daugherty see its dream of an undefeated season disappear with the loss to Thomasville, and their hopes of winning a region championship also vanished with that setback against Thomasville. And as for the Bulldogs themselves, they moved to 6-3 overall and 4-0 in Region 1 AAA with just one game to play, facing Crisp County next week. So that's a huge, huge win for Thomasville and first-year head coach Jonathan DeLay. And thinking, after that 1-3 start, I think a lot of people were writing off Thomasville and, saying, okay, wait till next year. But obviously the Bulldogs had other ideas on on that Thursday night. So once again, Thomasville wins over Daugherty 35-20. And let's move on to Friday night, Friday, October 22nd. And how about starting in Lee County and in Leesburg and the Lee County Trojans, and faced north side of Warner Robins, and the game was scoreless at 7 apiece at halftime, and then Lee County had what appeared to be a 20-0 lead over Northside, and looked like another easy win for the Trojans, Northside had other ideas, and the Eagles scored 23 unanswered points, and Northside with no timeouts left, and won the game on a scoop and score in Lee County. Could have very easily punted the ball away with just 7 seconds left. Instead, however, they decided to run a play on fourth down, run the clock out. But the Trojans fumbled the ball, and the Eagles picked it up and ran it in for the score. And Northside pulls off the upset win over Lee County, 23-20. And thinking if Lee County had just punted the ball to Northside, I think by the time that ball hit the ground, time would have run out, and then Lee County would have escaped with a 20-17 win. But instead, it was Northside of Warner Robins getting the win. Final score, Northside of Warner Robins 23, and Northside of Warner Robins 23, Lee County 20, the final, and the loss to Northside of Warner Robins proved to be very costly for Lee County, and that's because way down the road along U.S. Highway 19, we're off those highways at the Jackets Nest in Thomasville, the Thomas County Central Yellow Jackets, and got tested by the Houston County Bears for a while, but in the end, it was Thomas County Central getting the 42-21 win over Houston County. And with that win, Thomas County Central not only remains undefeated at 8-0 overall, but more importantly, they remain undefeated in GHSA Region 1-6A at 3-0. And Thomas County Central heads to Lee County next week with a chance to all but lock up a Region 1-6A title. And I think it would be Thomas County Central's first region championship in quite some time if they're able to get the win at Lee County next week. And so you look at the Region 1-6A standings right now, looking at just the region games, you got Thomas County Central with the win over Houston County at 3-0, and Northside and Lee County sitting at 2-1 in the region, and Houston County and Veterans now at 1-2, and more on the Veterans Tift County game in a moment, and Tift County sitting at 0-3 in the region. So now Houston County now finds itself in a must-win situation over their final 2 weeks if they're to clinch a playoff berth. And as promised, a quick review of the Tift County with Veterans game, and the score in that contest was tied at 20-20, but Veterans scored a touchdown to break that tie and eventually hold on to win 27-20. So Veterans goes to 1-2 in Region 1-6A, and I think they're 5-3 overall. And as for the Tift County Blue Devils, just been a really, really, really rough season. And they fall to 1-7 overall and 0-3 in Region 1-AAA. I made that Region 1-6A, I should say. So that means that Tift County's season, or Tift County's playoff hopes, are pretty much gone. If they weren't gone already. So Veterans wins 27-20, and moving right along quickly to the rest of the action in Region 1-AA, and then the Friday night game at Hume Mills Stadium in Albany. And the Monroe Tornadoes gave the Carver Tigers from Columbus, Georgia, all they could handle. And it was 20-13 in favor of Carver at halftime, but it was 20-13 Carver at halftime, and then and Monroe scored a touchdown during the third quarter, but had the extra point blocked, and it was 20-19 Carver at that point, and then the Tigers scored the game's final 15 points to win 35-19. So with the win, Carver locks up a playoff berth and moving to 3-1 in Region 1 AAA with just one game to play. And as for Monroe, the Tornadoes lost their fourth straight contest after going 4-1 in non-region play to start their 2022 season. So the Tornadoes fall to 0-4 in Region 1 AAA with only one game to play. And the Tornadoes go to Columbus, and Monroe's playoff hopes have now officially been dashed. And the Crisp County Cougars in Cordele crushed the Columbus Blue Devils 52-10. So that win clinches the fourth and final playoff berth in Region 1 AAA for the Crisp County Cougars under first-year head coach Lawrence Smith. So regardless of what Crisp County does against Thomasville next week, the Cougars will be the Cougars are basically locked into that number 4 seed in Region 1 AAA, and Thomasville will be the 1 seed. So that would, and it would come down to the game between the Daugherty Trojans and the Carver Tigers in Columbus next week. And both teams sitting at 3-1 in Region 1 AAA. So then the winner of that game would not only finish in second place in Region 1 AAA, but more importantly, clinch a home playoff game. And it would clinch a home playoff game for better or worse. And the loser, of course, and the loser of the next week's Daugherty Carver game would fall to the number 3 seed and would basically be on the road. And I think, obviously, for Daugherty, and that would be a chance to, for that team, for the Trojans and head coach Johnny Gilbert, to avenge that loss to Carver 16-14 in the quarterfinal round at the state playoffs in Class 4A last season. And it was on a Black Friday last year, 16-14. Carver managed to escape with a win over Daugherty, and Carver would go on to play in the championship game in Class 4A, only to lose to Benedictine of Savannah. So a whole lot riding on that game. And let's see, and let's move on to Region 1-4A and the Cairo Syrup Makers, and remain undefeated in Region 1-4A after defeating the Westover Patriots 28-2. And it was only a 7-2 game at halftime. And then, and after a little bit of a, I think it was a delay due to, the lights on the field went out for a while. And after that happened, and let's see, Cairo pulled away the rest of, pulled away from Westover for the rest of the contest, and then won 28-2. So Cairo goes to 7-2 on the season, and they remain undefeated in Region 1-4A at 3-0 with just one game to play. And Cairo's off next week, and they'll be on, and Cairo's off next week, and they'll be getting ready to host Bainbridge in a game, and that will basically be for the Region 1-4A championship in less than 2 weeks on November 4th. So, and the Bearcats had this week off. And then next Friday, October 28th, The Bearcats would be at home hosting Hardaway. So, and as for Westover and the Patriots, and as for the Patriots, they see their record fall to 2-7 overall, and while also remaining winless in Region 1-4A at 0-3, with only one game to play, and the only other game in Region 1-4A, which took place in Columbus, saw the Shaw Raiders outlast the Hardaway Hawks 21-17, and Shaw moves to 4-5 overall, and 1-2 in Region 1-4A, while Hardaway, despite a valiant effort, fell to 2-7 overall, and 1-2 in Region 1-4A, and Hardaway goes to Bainbridge next week. So, and Westover, that loss, Westover, as I mentioned earlier, fell to 0-3 in Region 1-4A, and the Patriots will join Cairo in having a bye next week, in the week of October 28th, and before hosting Shaw out of Columbus to close out the season on November 4th at Hugh Mills Stadium. So, for Westover, I mean, and Westover's pretty much like Monroe, and their playoff hopes are basically over. And so both Monroe and Westover basically have been eliminated from playoff contention in their respective regions, 1-AAA and 1-4A. So, and the best Westover can hope for, obviously number one, they will have to pull off the upset over Shaw on November 4th, and then Hardaway would have to lose to Bainbridge next week. So if that were to happen, and there would be a three-way tie for the number three and number four playoff spots out of Region 1-4A. And then, you got those tiebreakers, and basically. And then Shaw would have lost to Westover, but beat Hardaway. And Hardaway would have beat Westover, which would have beaten Shaw. In the case of a three-way tie, it always, in the case of any tie, whether it's two-way or three-way, you always look at head-to-head. In a three-way tie, I mean, you look at the head-to-head and say Westover were to beach, were to knock off Shaw on November 4th to finish region play at 1-3. And then Hardaway were to lose to Bainbridge next week, which would make the Hawks 1-3, and Hardaway would already have the tiebreaker over Westover, and Shaw would win the tiebreaker over Hardaway in case of a two-way tie. And then I think in the case of a three-way tie, I think if the head-to-head wins against those teams cancel each other out, and then I think it would come down to points allowed. And then this is where Westover would still lose. I mean, you're looking at the Region 1-4A standings courtesy of Max Preps at maxpreps.com. And let's see. And Shaw has given up 93 points. And Hardaway has given up 7 points. And Westover, unfortunately, has given up a whopping 2 points. So that's a point. That would be a point differential of minus 79 minus 79 points and for Westover. So, I mean, so I think the only way Westover get in the playoffs, number one, Hardaway would have to lose at Bainbridge next week. And number two, and Westover when all he had to beat Shaw on November 4th. And then, the Patriots would have to win by such an unusually insane margin. And that's probably unlikely, but I think that's about the only chance Westover has of getting in the playoffs at this point. Okay, gonna move right along to Region 1AA, which had its upset, which had its share of upsets, and starting down in 8L, and that one upset that I'm about to mention had the Dodge County Indians from Eastman, Georgia, traveling down to 8L, Georgia, and pulling off the upset over the Cook Hornets. Final score, 47-37. Cook losing in an upset to Dodge County. And Dodge County, with a win, goes to 4-5 overall. And they get the 500 in Region 1AA play at 2-2. And Dodge will host Berrien County next week. And Berrien had this week off, the week of Friday, October 21st off. And that could be a big critical game there. And the winner of that game will basically clinch the third and final playoff berth out of Region 1AA, while the loser will find themselves on the outside looking in. So, tough night for, a rough night for Cook. On this Friday, October 21st, first night for Cook on a Friday. So it doesn't get any easier for the Hornets, and they go to Fitzgerald next week, and this coming Friday, October 28th. So you look at the Region 1AA standings. Looking at the Region 1AA standings. And Cook, Fitzgerald, and winning 33-13 over Sumter County. So the defending Class AAA champion Hurricanes, Purple Hurricanes, or Hurricane, or whatever people like to call them, just keep rolling along and blowing away the competition, going to 8-0 overall and 4-0 Region 1AA, all in first place for the moment. And Cook is 6-2 in overall and 3-1 in the region after that loss. And Worth County, 3-1 in the region, 7-1 overall. And the Rams bounce back quite nicely after getting a shutout by Fitzgerald, and they go on the road and just rolled all over Jeff Davis, 43-7, the final score there. So Worth County, and even after suffering that loss to Fitzgerald, and still has a lot of things in front of them to accomplish over their final two games, and the Rams are back home for the final time in 2022 on October 28th, hosting Sumter County before ending the regular season at Cook. And then, and already mentioned Dodge County hosting Berrien. Dodge County, as mentioned earlier, is 3-2 overall, 4-5, 3-2 in the region. Dodge County is 3-2 in Region 1AA play, I should say, as well as 4-5 overall. And winners of three straight games. I think Dodge County is just like Thomasville. I mean, I think if our future opponent, I mean, and these aren't teams I would want to play right now. And Berrien, as of right now, would be on the outside looking in if the season ended right at this very moment. But as this is being recorded, there's still a couple weeks to go, if the season ended right now, Berrien would be on the outside looking in, and they would be missing the playoffs, and Berrien out of Nashville, Georgia, sitting at 2-2 in Region 1AA play, as well as 5-3 overall. And wrapping things up in Region 1-7A, and it was an upset in that league as well, down in Kingsland, Georgia. It was the Valdosta Wildcats falling for the first time in 2022 and upset by the Camden County Wildcats. Final score, and the final score, Camden County 17, Valdosta 14, and Camden 1 on a last second field goal. So, and Valdosta falls to 8-1 overall and 2-1 in Region 1AA with only one game left to play. And that's next week, hosting Colquitt County. So, and speaking of those Packers, they go on the road. And speaking of those Packers, and speaking of those Packers, they get a win 42-14 at home at Matt Tharp Stadium in Moultrie. And they roll past the Lowndes Vikings, final score 42-14, Colquitt County. So Colquitt goes to 8-0 on the season. Make that 7-0. Yeah, see, Colquitt goes to 7-0 on the season and 2-0 in Region 1-4A. Two games left to play. So, Valdosta in Colquitt County's last two games are on the road. So, Colquitt County's last two games are on the road. And at Valdosta and at Richmond Hill. So, you look at the Region 1-7A standings in this instant reactionary episode of the High School Football Roundup podcast, as well as the High School Football postgame show here in the Southwest Georgia Network, the Region 1-7A standings through games played on Friday, October 21st of 2022 in Colquitt County. For the moment, is all alone in first place in Region 1-4A, sitting at 2-0 in the region. Region 1-7A, 7-0 overall. And Camden County now tied with Valdosta for second place at 2-1 in the region, 6-3 overall. And Valdosta, suffering their first loss of the season, fell to 8-1 overall, as well as the 2-1 Region 1-7A. And if the season ended right, now, Camden County would hold the tiebreaker over Valdosta for that number two seed. Seeing Colquitt's already beaten Camden and Lowndes, and Colquitt goes to Valdosta next week, and then to Richmond Hill to finish the season the week after that. So if the Packers can get the job done in both of those games, and they would be the Region 1-7A champions. And seeing Richmond and Hill and Lowndes are both 0-2 in Region 1-7A. And Richmond Hill's 3-5 overall, losers of three straight games, and Lowndes sitting at 4-4 overall. So I think Lowndes and Richmond Hill still have to play each other. So Lowndes and Richmond Hill still have to play against each other. And Lowndes host Richmond Hill next Friday. And then we'll close out the regular season at Camden County. So now this season could rest on those final two games of the year. And and finally, we can finish things up. And in Region 1, Single A, Division 1, and one of the games of the week in that classification, probably the game of the week in Class Single A Division 1, took place at Veterans Stadium in Quitman, Georgia. And it was Erwin County taking on Brooks County in a rematch of last year's Class Single A Public State Championship game. And in Brooks County led 7-6 for most of the game. And then Erwin County when Erwin County managed to wake up in that fourth and final quarter, scoring a couple of touchdowns, and then and Erwin County pretty much put the game out of reach with a recovered fumble in the end zone for a touchdown and made the extra point. And Erwin County knocks off Brooks County 19-7. And so I'm thanking head coach Maurice Freeman with his hammer, you know, bringing down the hammer. I don't think he's going to be happy with Brooks County's, with his team's performance tonight. I mean, and the same thing with head coach Dean Fabrizio, Lee County. Probably Fabrizio's probably not, obviously, he's not going to like the way the game against Northside of Warner Robins ended. So if you're just joining us live, this is a live recording. And this is the High School Football Roundup podcast, kind of in conjunction with the High School Football post-game show for the week ending Friday, October 21st, 2022. And the upcoming episode of the High School Football Roundup podcast and will be episode 13, and which will be posted no later than Monday, October 24th for 2022. So anyone that's listening, and I don't think anyone's listening live right now on Twitter Spaces, at Twitter Spaces, and they can listen to this recording throughout the remainder of this weekend on Twitter, at Twitter Spaces, as well as at SWJ Network, and then go to SouthwestGeorgiaNetwork.com on Monday, and then you'll hear what you're similar to what you're hearing right now, this instant reaction, very episode. So gonna wrap things up real fast in Class Single A Division 2, and the Early County Bobcats for the second week in a row lose a game. And the Bobcats had like a lead over 28-0 lead over Eufaula, Alabama, and then Eufaula came back to win 31-28. I'm thinking for those Early County fans out there, they're probably thinking, you know, yeah, we're sure glad we took care of business in our region before we ran into that tough stretch to finish our regular season. So Early County was 7-0 before losing to Brooks County last week, 34-7, and then they lose this week, or this past Friday, October 21st, to Eufaula, 31-28, and Early County is 7-2, with traveling to Early County on the 28th of October to finish their regular season. And in the other, in another game of interest, in Seminole County won over Randolph Clay 34-17. And Seminole County picks up a big win in Region 1 Single A Division 2. And they'll be looking to clinch a playoff berth in Region 1 Single A Division 2 in the coming weeks. And finally, in the GIAA, and Brookwood Warriors from Thomasville had no trouble in and rolling past the Tift area Panthers, final score 48-12. And in the other game in note in the GIAA, had the Valiants from Valdosta and needing overtime to defeat the Southland Academy Raiders in America's final score 29-23 in overtime. Valwood wins that game. You're listening to the High School Football Roundup Podcast on the Southwest Georgia Network. Available online at southwestgeorgianetwork.com, on Twitter at SWGA Network, as well as on Anchor at anchor.fm/SWGA Network, on Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcast. Welcome back to the High School Football Roundup Podcast here on the Southwest Georgia Network. I'm Walter Johnson. And what you just heard in part one, for those people listening for the first time especially, was an instant reaction to what happened in week 10 of this high school football regular season here in Southwest and South Central Georgia, or telephone area code 229, which makes up the Southwest Georgia Network coverage area. And in part two, I'm gonna talk about the region standings within the GHSA and a big game in the GIAA, and just talk about what needs to happen for many teams in our coverage area to advance to the playoffs. And obviously, not much time to waste, so I'm going to go ahead and get right into it right now. And the obvious place to start would be at the top in Region 17A and within the highest classification at the GHSA, which is, of course, 7A, Class 7A. And the Colquitt County Packers, thanks to their 42-14 win over Lowndes, is in first place in Region 17A at 2-0, as well as an 8-0 overall. And Valdosta is 2-1 in Region, 8-1 overall after being upset at Camden County. And Camden County moves to 2-1 in Region 17A and is now at 6-3 overall after upsetting Valdosta. And then you got Lowndes and Richmond Hill both sitting at 0-2 in Region 17A, with the Vikings at 4-4 now in Region 17A, 4-4 overall. Lowndes is 4-4 overall, and Richmond Hill, whose Wildcats were off this past week, set at 3-5 overall. And obvious, one of the games of the week around the state will take place at Bazemore Hire Stadium in Cleveland Field in Valdosta, as the Wildcats will try to bounce back in hosting the Colquitt County Packers. So for all intents and purposes, and the Region 17A title will be decided down in Valdosta. So it looks like it'll be a sea of black and gold inside of Bazemore Hire Stadium on Friday, October 28th of 2022. So Colquitt County playing at Valdosta. So it's really that simple for Colquitt County. A win over Valdosta would give the Packers their sixth straight region title, six in a row. And as for Valdosta, if they win, and they would be guaranteed no worse than a tie for the region title, and depending on Valdosta were to knock off Colquitt County, and hand the Packers their first loss of the season in the process. And Valdosta will finish the regular season at 9-1 overall, as well as 3-1 in Region 1-7A. And then at that point, the Wildcats would end up, the Valdosta Wildcats, I should say, would have to spend their bye week awaiting what happens with Camden County's final game of the season. And seeing, so that would be on November 4th, seeing Camden lost to Colquitt. And then, and obviously they beat Lowndes. So Camden would have to lose their season finale to in order for Valdosta to win the region title, get the number one seed out of Region 1-7A. So Camden is 2-1 in Region 1-7A. And they've got wins over so Camden has wins. So Camden has already beat, and Camden already beat Valdosta. I mean that's already been known. And seeing who else, and Camden has already defeated Richmond Hill. And then lost to Colquitt County in Moultrie. And then the huge upset win over Valdosta. And then Camden has this week off. And then they host Lowndes to finish the regular season on November 4th. So once again to set up the scenario for this week in Colquitt County, if they get the win over Valdosta, they would be the Region 1-7A champions no matter what happens in their regular season finale at Richmond Hill on November 4th. But if Valdosta were to knock off Colquitt County and hand the Packers their first loss of the season in the process, and Valdosta would finish the regular season at 9-1 overall, as well as 3-1 in Region 1-7A. And that would mean Valdosta Wildcat fans would have to become Lowndes Vikings fans, as in, and they would have to hope that Lowndes would have to pull off the upset over Camden County on the road in their final game of the regular season, and just for Valdosta to win that tiebreaker over Camden County. So a Valdosta win over Camden County, coupled with a Camden County loss to Lowndes, would mean, and say, Colquitt County were to win at Richmond Hill, Valdosta wins over Colquitt County, and then Colquitt County goes to Richmond Hill, wins that game, and then Camden County loses to Lowndes. That would mean Valdosta and Colquitt County would finish Region 1-7A play at 3-1, and Valdosta and Colquitt, Valdosta will win the tiebreaker over Colquitt County, and Camden County lost to Lowndes would mean the Camden County Wildcats would finish Region 1-7A play at 2-2. Camden County would have 2 losses in region play to finish the regular season at 2-2. And Valdosta, by virtue of that win over Colquitt, would win the Region 1-7A title, be the number one seed, and Colquitt would fall to the number two seed. However, say Colquitt County, if Colquitt County takes care of business against Valdosta, they would be that number one seed, and then say Camden beats Lowndes, say on November 4th, and then Valdosta beats Colquitt. Say Valdosta beats Colquitt, Camden beats Lowndes on November 4th. Seeing Colquitt wins at Richmond Hill on also November 4th, and then there will be a 3-way tie for the region championship, Region 1-7A title. And seeing Valdosta, you see Colquitt have already beaten Camden, and Camden would have defeated Valdosta. So be 1, 2, and 3 would be Camden. It would be Colquitt, Camden, Valdosta. So some crazy combination of results. And then the other game in Region 1-7A has the Richmond Hill Wildcats traveling to the Concrete Palace or Martin Stadium in Valdosta to face the Lowndes Vikings. And as mentioned earlier, Lowndes sits at 4-4 overall. Richmond Hill is 3-5, and both teams are 0-2 in Region 1-7A play. And basically, and this is a winner in, loser out contest. So it's just that simple for Lowndes. And so it's just that simple for both Lowndes and Richmond Hill. And the winner of that game will clinch that fourth and final playoff berth, while the loser season will come to a close. So, and both teams sitting at 0-2 in Region 1-7A. So, and let's move on to Region 1-6A. We're going to move on to Region 1-6A. And you see the Thomas County Central Yellow Jackets. And sitting all alone in first place at 8-0 overall, as well as 3-0 in Region 1-6A. And they're the only undefeated team left in Region 1-6A after 10 full weeks of action. And as mentioned in part one of this week's episode of the HSFR, and Thomas County Central was a 42-21 winner over Houston County this past Friday, October 21st. And the game was actually tied at 21-all after three quarters, and then the Yellow Jackets pulled away from the Bears in that final period, 142-21. It was one of those games that, of course, was a lot closer than the final score indicated. And in any case, Thomas County Central going to 8-0 overall and remaining perfect in Region 1-6A at 3-0. And after that, you got a crazy mix of teams that are 6-2 and 5-3 overall. You got Lee County at 6-2 overall and 2-1 in Region 1-6A after blowing a 20-0 lead in the fourth quarter against Northside Warner Robins, and the Eagles won on that scoop and score as on the game's final play. 23-20, and Northside of Warner Robins pulls up off the upset over the Lee County Trojans, who are ranked number 2 in Class 6A. You see, and the Trojans took a tremendous fall in their rankings after that. And with the win, Northside is now 5-3 overall and 2-1 in Region 1-6A. And then in the rest of the Region 1-6A standings, got Houston County sitting at 1-2 in Region 1-6A and 6-2 overall after losing to Thomas County Central. And let's see, and then Houston County now has 2 losses in Region 1-6A. And already, and Houston's only other loss in Region 1-6A came to Lee County earlier in the season, and then Veterans got by Tift County 27-20, and that makes the Warhawks out of Kathleen, Georgia, 5-3 overall and 1-2 in Region 1-6A. And as well as, yes, Veterans is 1-2 in Region 1-6A, and Tift County bringing up the rear as the only winless team in Region 1-6A at 0-3, as well as 1-7 overall. So, and this week's big game in Region 1-6A is basically for the region title and the number 1 seed, Thomas County Central, making a long trip up U.S. Highway 19 into Leesburg to face the Lee County Trojans. So, really, it's just that simple for Thomas County Central. If you win, you're Region 1-6A champions, no matter what happens that final week of the regular season, which is the week of November 4th. And for Lee County, and then they got to put that sting loss to Northside behind them in a hurry and get ready to face the best Thomas County Central squad and that program has had in years, if not centuries, give or take. And for Lee County, if the Trojans were to somehow pull off the upset over the currently undefeated Yellow Jackets at 8-0 and 3-0 in Region 1-6A play, as of this recording, if Lee County were to knock off Thomas County Central, and Lee County would own the tiebreaker over TCC, and there are 2 other games in Region 1-6A to mention quickly, got the Veterans visiting Northside of Warner Robins, and both teams are 5-3 overall. However, the Northside Eagles from Warner Robins sit at 2-1 in Region 1-6A, while the Warhawks from Veterans, the Veterans Warhawks are 1-2 in Region 1-6A. So that game will have an obvious impact on the standings. So say Lee County loses to Thomas County Central, and Houston County were to defeat Tift County, and believe it or not, that would create a 4-way tie for the other 4-way tie for the 3 remaining playoff berths behind Thomas County Central. So again, say Thomas County Central beats Lee County, the Yellow Jackets would move to 4-0 in Region 1-6A with just 1 game to play. And say Lee County loses to Thomas County Central, and Houston County were to beat Tift County, and Veterans were to knock off Northside of Warner Robins, That would create a bizarre 4-way tie for 2nd place, as well as a 4-way tie for the final 3 playoff berths at 2-2. And yes, that sounds odd, for those of you that are listening, but that's what the situation would be if that were to happen. And so Houston County will host Tiff County this week. So that's so Thomas County Central beats Lee County. Northside were to lose the veterans, and Houston were to defeat Tiff. I mean, I think that's a four-way tie for the not only for second place in Region 1-6A, but also a four-way tie for the final three playoff berths behind Thomas County Central. That would be a very bizarre situation, depending on what happens this week. And the week of Friday, October 28th. And I'm gonna keep things going here. And how about moving all the way to down to Region 1-4A. And the Cairo Syrup Makers with their 28-2 win over the Westover Patriots now set at the 7-2 overall and remain undefeated in Region 1-4A at 3-0. And then the Bainbridge Bearcats, who had last week off, set at 2-0 in Region 1-4A as well as 4-4 overall. And then Shaw and Hardaway, both out of Columbus, sit at 1-2 in Region 1-4A, with Shaw sitting at 4-5 overall, and Hardaway at 2-7 overall, and the Westover Patriots from Albany, and sitting in last place in Region 1-4A, winless at 0-3 in the region, 2-7 overall after that 28-2 loss at Cairo on this past Friday, October 21st of 2022. So the only game in Region 1-4A this week will take place down in Bainbridge as the Bearcats host the Hardaway Hawks from Columbus. So Hardaway of Columbus making a long trip down to Bainbridge along US Highway 27 to face the Bearcats. And this is another game that's or in a situation that's basically self-explanatory, and all Bainbridge has to do is win, and they would match Cairo's mark of 3-0 in Region 1-4A play going into that big showdown for the Region 1-4A title on November 4th. So Bainbridge versus Cairo in Cairo on November 4th. And even if Hardaway were to somehow pull off the upset over Bainbridge down in Bainbridge this week on Friday, October 28th, Bainbridge would still have to beat Cairo, or Bainbridge would still have to play and beat Cairo in order to win another region title. So, and as for Shaw and Hardaway, and it was Shaw outlasting Hardaway 21-17 in Columbus. And Hardaway, Shaw, and Westover are all, so Shaw and Hardaway are both 1-2 in Region 1-4A play. However, thanks to that win over Hardaway, Shaw currently holds the tiebreaker over Hardaway and would be the number 3 seed, while Hardaway would be the number 4 seed if the season ended right now, and Westover would be on the outside looking in. And Westover's off this week, and Westover still has a slim chance, of advancing to the playoffs. In order for that to happen, however, Westover number 1, as I mentioned in that first segment, they would have to upset Shaw number 1, and then And then they would have to hope Hardaway would lose, and then Hardaway and the West Silver fan faithful would have to hope that Hardaway would upset Bainbridge. And given what happened last week, you know, and nothing's out of the question, you know, anything's possible, as the saying goes. So Hardaway obviously would have to upset Bainbridge. And then Westover would have to beat Shaw to finish Region 1-4A play at 1-3. And then Westover would win the tiebreaker over Shaw. And Hardaway would move into that number 3 spot, potentially. And then at 2-2 in the region, as well as 3-7 overall. And then, let's say, Westover upset win over Shaw would mean Westover would make the playoffs as the number 4 seed. However, say Bainbridge beats Hardaway, and Bainbridge would be the obvious favorite over Hardaway. And then Bainbridge would be 3-0, matching Cairo's record going into that big showdown at West Thomas Stadium on November 4th. And then Hardaway would finish Region 1-4A play at 1-3, which would mean Westover would have to pull off the upset over Shaw to finish in a three-way tie. And in case of that, I mean, the three-way head-to-head tiebreaker would apply and all that. In which case Westover would beat Shaw, which already beaten Hardaway. And then, which beat Westover 15-14. And that was a Thursday night contest on October 13th. And then a lot of other crazy scenarios would have to apply there. So, but this week, and then Hardaway goes to Bainbridge this week. Down in Bainbridge. So, win or lose, I mean, the game between Bainbridge and Cairo in Cairo on November 4th will basically decide the Region 1-4A title. Okay. I'm going to keep it going here. How about Region 1-AA? Thomasville, thanks to their upset win over a previously undefeated Daugherty Trojans team from Albany at Humel Stadium in Albany on Thursday, is the Region 1-4A champion. Made that the Region 1-3A or AAA champion at 4-0 in region play, 6-3 overall. And so Thomasville will be locked into that number 1 seed no matter what they do against Crisp County in Thomasville this week. And then Daugherty sits at 3-1 and 8-1 overall. Carver Columbus also 3-1 in the region, 6-2 overall after the 35-19 win over Monroe at Humel Stadium in Albany on Friday. And Crisp County sits at 2-2. And 5-2 in the region, 5-4 overall, after crushing Columbus 52-10. So that win over the Blue Devils clinches the fourth and final playoff spot for in Region 1-AA. So Crisp County's locked into the number 4 seed. And then bringing up the rear, the Monroe Tornadoes from Albany. And the Columbus Blue Devils sit at 0-4 in Region 1-AA, and the Tornadoes 4-5 overall, losers of four straight games, and Columbus is 2-7 overall, and Daugherty travels to Columbus on Thursday, October 27th, to face Carver. So, really a self-explanatory situation there, and the winner of that game will be the number 2 seed, while the loser will fall to the number 3 seed. And and Darty looking for some obvious payback. And after their season ended in the quarterfinal round of the 4A playoffs, and Carver edged Darty 16-14 in Columbus last year, and Carver would go on to lose to Benedictine of Savannah in the 4A championship game, while Darty settled for a 10-3 mark in 2021. So that should be a big game Thursday night, between the Darty Trojans from Albany and Carver of Columbus in Columbus again, where it will be the number 2 seed in Region 1 AAA, and the loser will fall to the number 3 seed. So the number 2 seed obviously will get to host a first round playoff game, while the loser would have to hit the road for the playoffs. And I'm going to go ahead and speed things up here and moving on to Region 1 AA. In the Fitzgerald Purple Hurricanes, the defending Class AA state champions, remained in first place all by themselves with a 33-13 win over the Sumter County Panthers in Americas. So Fitzgerald's 4-0 in Region 1 AA, as well as 8-0 overall. Worth County, 7-1, made that 3-1 in Region 1 AA, as well as 7-1 overall after the easy 43-7 win over Jeff Davis in Hazelhurst, Georgia, and Cook. And as many of you know by now, the Cook Hornets were upset at home by Dodge County, 47-37, and Cook fell to 3-1 in Region 1 AA, 6-2 overall, and Dodge County, with that upset win over Cook down in Adel, moved to 3-2 in Region 1 AA, as well as the 4-5 overall, and Berrien, 2-2 in Region, and 5-3 overall, and did not play last week. And Berrien will head up into Eastman, Georgia. Berrien will travel to Eastman, Georgia to face Dodge County. And then Sumter County, 0-4 in Region, 1-7 overall. And Jeff Davis, 0-5 overall, and 0-9 in Region 1-AA. So, as mentioned earlier, and Berrien will face Dodge County up in Eastman, Georgia this week, and Worth County at home against Sumter County. And the game of the week in Region 1 AA has the Cook Hornets going up to Fitzgerald to face the Purple Hurricanes. So Fitzgerald can clinch the Region 1 AA title with a win this week. Over Cook, Fitzgerald can clinch the Region 1 AA championship with a win over Fitzgerald this week. But if Cook were to pull off the upset, and Worth County wins over Sumter County, there would be a three-way tie for first place in Region 1 AA with just 1 week left to play. And then in Dodge County hosting Berrien, I mean, so many scenarios at work with that game. And Berrien can clinch that fourth and final playoff berth if they beat Dodge County. And up there in Eastman this week, and Dodge County in their regular season finale can guarantee themselves of a playoff berth if they get the victory over Dodge. So that's the situation in Region 1 AA as of this week. And then I'm going to go ahead and move a little bit faster. And the Irwin County won over Brooks County, 19-7. And Irwin moves to 2-0 in Region 1, Single A, Division 1, as well as the 6-1 overall. And the Indians from Ocala will host the Early County Bobcats, the Region 1, Single A, Division 2 champions this week. And the Pelham Hornets won 47-24 over Bacon County. And Pelham is off this week. And Brooks County in a must-win situation this week, traveling to Alma, Georgia to face Bacon County. And Brooks County is 5-2 overall. And Bacon County just 1-7. However, since there are only four teams in Region 1, Single A Division 1, all four teams will advance to the playoffs no matter what. And having said that, and the Brooks County game at Bacon County will be very important as far as seeding is concerned. So Brooks County obviously needs a win to not only get that first region win, but set themselves up for that regular season finale against Pelham on November 4th. And how about Class Single A Division 2 in Early County at 7-2 overall and 6-0 in region play is the champion in Region 1 Single A Division 2. But the Bobcats will try to snap a two-game losing streak after the loss to Eufaula, Alabama, 31-28, by going to Irwin County. And that should be a good game over in Ocala. And the real mess is happening on once you get past Early County. And the real mess is for those other in the real battle in Region 1 Single A Division 2 is for those other free playoff berths. Yeah, and there's Mitchell County, Seminole County, and Terrell County. Mitchell, Miller, Seminole, and Terrell counties all in a four-way tie for second place, or as well as a four-way tie for the final three playoff berths behind Early County and Region 1 Single A Division 2. And all four of those teams set at 3-5 overall, as well as at 2-2 in region play. And on Saturday, rare Saturday contest, it was Miller County spoiling Mitchell County's homecoming on the road as the Pirates knocked off the Eagles 22-12. And while Seminole County won easily over Randolph Clay 34-17, while Terrell County had an even easier time against Baconton, winning convincingly 39-6. So, and this is the situation, and this is what's happening for week 11 this week in Miller County. We'll travel to Centennial Field in Camilla to face Baconton in a big game in Region 1, Single A, Division 2 this week. Also, Mitchell County will try to bounce back this week when they travel to Cuthbert, Georgia to face the Randolph Clay Red Devils. And Randolph Clay fell to 1-7 overall, as well as to 1-3 in Region 1 Single A Division 2 after the loss to Seminole County last week. So Randolph Clay in an obvious must-win situation this weekend next. If they want to stay in playoff contention and advance to the playoffs eventually. And the other big game will take place down in Donaldsonville, Georgia. Donaldsonville with only Wendy at the beginning as the Seminole County Indians will host the Terrell County Green Waves. So a lot of action you know, taking place there in Bitola Charter. And the Bitola Charter Panthers out of Edison, Georgia, in Calhoun County, whose Panthers do not play a region schedule, moved to 6-2 on the season with a 52-18 win over Cottondale, Florida. And Bitola Charter goes to Franklin County in Florida this week. And how about Region 2 Single A quickly? And Clinch County, 47-19 win Clinch County was a 47-19 winner over Atkinson County last week. So Clinch moves to 8-1 on the season and remains undefeated in Region 2 at 3-0. And that sets up a big matchup at Charlton County this Friday down in Polkston, Georgia, right near the Okie Swamp in southeast Georgia, close to the Florida border. I mean, Charlton County at Clinch County. So that should be, and Clark Charlton is 5-2 overall and undefeated in Region 2 at 2-0. And Lanier County won a close game, high scoring game over Lanier County Bulldogs out of Lakeland, Georgia, in the southeasternmost corner of our coverage area. Picked up a 34-124 win over Turner County. And the Bulldogs moved to 4-4 overall and 1-1 in Region 2, Single A Division 2 with a win. And then you got Atkinson County at 2-6 overall, 0-2 in Region 2. So Atkinson County fell to 0-2 in Region 2. So Atkinson hosts Lanier this week, and then Turner County Titans bring up the rear after losing another tough game, this time to Lanier County, 31-24. And the Titans sit at just 1-8 overall and winless in Region 2 at 0-3. And elsewhere, and in Region 4, Dooley County fell to Wilcox County, and Wilcox County won easily over Dooley County, 53-21. So at the moment, Wilcox County is all alone in first place in Region 4 Single A Division 2 at 3-0, as well as at 5-3 overall. So Wilcox County goes to Hawkinsville this week. And how about Region 6 quickly? In Schley County, out of Ellaville, Georgia, just north of Americus, 128-6 over Manchester. So Schley County, if the season were to end right now, we had the inside track on the Region 6 title. In Schley County, 6-2 overall, and 5-0 in Region 6 Single A Division 2. And one of Schley County's losses came to Early County earlier in the season. This is when Schley was ranked number one. And Early County pulled off the upset 19-17 at the time. And finally, let's go to the private school ranks momentarily. And Deerfield Windsor Knights had last week off, but we'll be back in action this week, hosting Valwood, and that's a critical that's going to be a critical game in District 3-4A AAA. Seeing that Deerfield is 6-2 overall, and they're 2-1 in District 3, Valwood is 6-2 overall, and also 2-1 in District 3. So And basically, that's a battle for second place. So Deerfield Windsor will host Valwood at Webb Stadium on the Deerfield Windsor campus in Northwest Albany this Friday. So that's gonna be a tremendously important game for both teams in Deerfield. So looking to clinch a postseason berth. Deerfield looking to finish. So Deerfield, after hosting Valwood, will travel to Southland Academy in Americus to finish the regular season on November 4th. Looking elsewhere in District 3, 4A, AAA, and seeing them mentioned, as already mentioned in part one of this episode of the High School Football Roundup podcast in the Brookwood 1 over Tift area, 48-12, and the Brookwood School Warriors out of Thomasville now sit at 5-3 overall and remain undefeated in District 3. In the District 3, 4A, and AAA, in the GIAA at 3-0. And also, Terrell Academy lost to Central Fellowship Christian, 42-14, the final score. And Terrell Academy, with that loss, fell to 5-3 overall and 1-2 in District 3. And also mentioned in part one of this week's episode, Valwood beat Southland 29-23 in overtime. And so, this is the lineup in District 3, 4A, and AAA. So, Deerfield Windsor's at home against Valwood. So, Valwood of Valdosta versus Deerfield Windsor in Albany. Brookwood will travel to Terrell Academy in Dawson. And Southland Academy will be on the road to face Tift area. And the Panthers under head coach Eric Soliday, just 1-7 overall and 1-2 in District 3 action. So, look at some other action here. And Southwest Georgia Academy did not play this past week. However, in Region 3 AA, it was Georgia Christian winning over Grace Christian 38-12. Grace Christian is in Decatur County down in Bainbridge. And Southwest Georgia Academy this week will host Memorial Day and the Warriors out of Damascus, Georgia. It's in Early County. Southwest Georgia Academy will be at home against Memorial Day. And finally, Sherwood Christian Academy in GAPS action. And Sherwood Christian Academy won a region championship, believe it or not. The Sherwood Christian Academy Eagles from southwest of Albany actually won a region title, believe it or not, as they pulled off the upset over a previously undefeated team. And Sherwood Christian Academy pulled off the upset over previously undefeated Vidalia Heritage Academy out of Vidalia, Georgia. That was a road game for SCA. Final score, Sherwood 58, Vidalia Heritage 54. So that means Sherwood Academy moves to 7-1 overall and 4-0 in GAPS Class AA Region 2. And this is the 8-man league. You see, in the SCA has one game left to play in the Class AA Region 2 8-Man League, hosting Lafayette Christian. So congratulations to Sherwood Christian Academy. Okay, I think that's going to do it. So coming up on 50 minutes of recording this part two of this what's suspected to be a long episode of the High School Football Roundup Podcast. Episode 13 of the High School Football Roundup Podcast and of this 2022 season, recorded on and uploaded for the week beginning Monday, October 24th of 2022. And I do thank you for listening and bearing with me, and hope you have a good rest of your week, and may the best and or your favorite team win. As always, stay safe. Thank you. God bless you. And goodbye.
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Southwest Georgia Network. The Southwest Georgia Network is online at southwestgeorgianetwork.com and on Twitter at SWGA Network. Thanks for listening.